me tell you about a product that I am using personally, and I really think this works. You know, beetroot juice has been used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, and studies show that it can increase athletic performance and stamina by 16%. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com and you can get a 30-day supply free of this great product. It comes with your first order and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. 800-738-2198. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. This is part two of today's discussion. If you haven't heard part one, please go back because we had some very interesting questions. And Layla, what's in store for us in part two?
We've got a very interesting question from Ted. Dr. Hoffman, as a regular listener to your program, the recent controversy surrounding the use and of the quality of vitamins is very important to me. Therefore, the recent scare about vitamin D3 and the rat poison Kintox is just another extremely scary scenario, making me question the use of supplements at all. So apparently, cholecalciferol, which is vitamin D3, is an ingredient in rat poison. And the question is, if this is an ingredient in rat poison, how could this be safe for humans?
Wow, that's a really, really interesting question. And it kind of bespeaks an irrational mentality, because one of the most widely used drugs that saves countless lives every year is Coumadin, which is also derived from warfarin, popular rat poison. Mm-hmm. How did it kill rats? It made them bleed to death. And what does it do to humans if given in too high an amount? They bleed to death. But the use of Coumadin is carefully monitored so that people stay within what's called a normal INR, an ideal INR, which is two or three times the normal rate of bleeding. Which thins their blood adequately, but not so much that they, start to bleed uncontrollably and die like a New York City rat in the subway. One of the quirks about, we talked in part one about the difference between humans and rodents. And in spite of the fact that, some people that we know have rodent-like characteristics, we're quite different, right? I mean, I'm sure you know one or two people, family members or friends.
I think everybody knows one or two people.
Exactly.
With rodent-like characteristics.
It's no coincidence that the expression, you dirty rat, came about. But so rodents are different and in that they have a very poor tolerance to vitamin D. And what happens when they get too much vitamin D is they get a very high calcium level, and their organs get all infiltrated with calcium, and they can die.
Mm-hmm.
However, and that will happen when humans take massive amounts of vitamin D, but it's a recent study looked at, I think they looked at 10,000 cases of people were supplementing with vitamin D, and they found only one case where toxicity developed, and that was in a woman who was taking 50,000 international units of vitamin D, not every week, but every day for 7 consecutive weeks. She ended up with a vitamin D of 346, which, of course, is going to cause her calcium to go up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's very, even people taking, we see people taking 5, 8, 10,000 a day in our practice, sometimes even more. And we monitor them very carefully, and they don't go into a toxic range. So it's all about the dose. It's also about the species. Humans are less susceptible to this effect than rats and mice. And so how this is linked to a general concern about vitamins and supplements, that's the weird part to me, because, if that were the case, every time a person died of a medical complication in hospital due to an inappropriate dose of a medication, that would be a nail in the coffin of the pharmaceutical industry. People would say, hey, I heard of someone who went to the hospital and they were given a medication and they had an adverse side effect and they died. I'm not ever going to take a medication ever again in my life. And I hope that they shut down the entire pharmaceutical industry and flush all those drugs down the garbage. That would be, equally irrational. So,
yeah. Yeah, and 200,000 people a year die from that.
Exactly.
All by itself. And meanwhile, nobody's died from vitamins. Nobody.
Except the rats.
So.
Except the rats.
Except the rats. Which was the point.
Which was the point.
In a poison, yeah.
Hey, and here's another thing about that is, can you think of a safer way to kill rats than to give them a poison, which is poisonous to them, but probably not poisonous to other pets or humans? You know, it's like some of these poisons that they put out to kill pests, they're very dangerous to human inhabitants. So, you know, you have to clear out of the house, or God forbid, you know, you touch a trap, you have to, you know, carefully wash your hands. You know, there's something very benign and natural about, you know, killing rats and mice with vitamin D. Now, don't you go around, you know, emptying your vitamin D into mouse holes in your house. That's not the way to do it.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work, unless you smear them with peanut butter or something. And I can just see people, you know, they go, well, I learned a handy tip from Dr. Hoffman and Layla. It's like, I just take my vitamin D pills and I cover them with cheese and I shove them into the mouse holes. And I haven't had any problems with mice ever since I heard that podcast.
Right.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
Don't try this at home.
Exactly.
Don't try this at home. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oh, thank you for your question, Ted, and take your vitamins.
Yes.
This next question comes from Karen. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, thank you for your wonderful show. I'm an avid listener living across the pond in England. Wish you were local. I am 46 years old, just gave birth to a gorgeous baby boy. Unfortunately, I had an emergency C-section, but all's well that ends well, I have a beautiful baby. He and I were both put on antibiotics, and I'm concerned about building a healthy gut, microbiome, and immune system. I am breastfeeding. What supplements would you recommend for us?
Well, you're good at this. What would you say?
That's almost a consult.
Yeah.
Oh, well, since they've both been on antibiotics, definitely probiotics. And I think a good way to get probiotics into baby is to put some on the nipple of the breast while you're breastfeeding. That's also a helpful way for your infant son to get that. But I think it's a good idea.
And in particular, we like bifidobacteria is particularly good for young babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have actually have a product. So we have something junior that we use for kids. What is
that's
it called?
That's right. We use, what is that called? Is it ProBoost? No, that's a different supplement. That's a Vimex supplement.
Something junior.
But we do have probiotics for kids.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So definitely that's actually a good idea. And you could dose it down to an infant as well. Other supplements to use, you can continue if you're breastfeeding on your prenatal vitamin. That's often helpful because that'll have some iron in it still to transfer to the baby through breast milk, which is important, and some small amounts of vitamin D.
However, I really don't like the conventional prenatal vitamins. And the latest one that I like is made by Orthomolecular. Their prenatal is good because it actually has – many prenatals are very, very low in important nutrients. And this is a very balanced one. It has DHA for the kid's brain. It has phosphatidylcholine. It has the right kind of folic acid or the right kind of folate as opposed to folic acid, which is artificial vitamin B9. You know, I think commercial prenatals and prescribed prenatals will sort of do the trick, but they are actually not as optimal as some of the ones made by nutritional companies, especially the ones that are made specifically for doctors, like the Orthomolecular. So, anyway, and you know, there are actually some studies that show that women during pregnancy don't do well with high amounts of iron. The vast majority of women don't need a lot of iron. Iron tends to be constipating. Pregnancy is constipating enough in general. And so we urge that women get their iron by using some animal protein.
It's generally that babies and young children tend to be low in iron. So
yes.
As long as she's breastfeeding. Eating, foods high in heme iron, you know, red meat, dark meat, poultry. There's certainly iron in organ meats such as liver. It's in egg yolks. These are helpful. Karen is also asking, any ideas for foods that encourage breast milk flow? Now, this is not my area of expertise. I think using warm compresses on the breast can help with letting down the milk. But as far as foods that encourage breast milk flow, I really don't know. Dr. Hoffman, maybe you have some ideas, but I would otherwise refer Karen to a lactation specialist.
Yeah, I think that is correct. And I'm not, yeah. I'm not that well versed in what specifically will encourage milk flow, and I'm not sure there is such a thing. There are certain herbs that may be helpful. One is called phytolacca, which actually means plant milk. It's
lacca.
Yeah, it's and it's I think it's from a lettuce derivative, and it's reputed to be helpful for that. But I'm not sure how effective it is. I think there may be some bona fides for raspberry. I've heard it said that consuming garlic can actually make the baby more desirous of breastfeeding. That's sort of like, but maybe that only works for Italian babies, though. I'm not sure. or alternatively, Korean babies.
Well, it doesn't make them colicky.
Yeah.
Right?
But the mother consuming garlic, in other words, makes it, garlic-flavored breast milk.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Karen, thank you for your questions, and many congratulations to you.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. We've got a question here from Miriam. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my daughter is becoming very involved in all kinds of essential oils, frankincense and lemon. She now tells me it can help with the pain in my knee and my lower back. Hey, Dr. Hoffman, isn't frankincense boswellia?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So indeed it could help with pain.
Yep.
In the lower knee and lower back, in the knee and lower back, rather.
But as an essential oil, it's got to really taste lousy. So I'm thinking maybe in a capsule form or a tablet form. You know, we have a boswellan product at the Hoffman Center that we use. That's you don't really taste it as it goes down. I think the essential oils might be a little challenging because frankincense is not particularly. Yeah. It's a rather bitter tasting substance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but
I mean,
boswellan would go down well.
Right. Yeah. So other essential, oregano, is that anti-inflammatory? I'm not sure that it's as anti-inflammatory as boswellan. Curcumin is not generally dispensed as an essential oil, and that's really helpful. Those are some of the things.
Yeah. All right. Miriam, thank you for your question. This one comes from Tom. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I listen to your podcast. I've learned so much. My question is, if you could recommend 3 or 4 supplements for a man 65 years old or older, what would they be? I'm currently taking fish oil, turmeric, and chiolic.
Okay. That's a good start.
I think he's got 3 good ones there. Yeah.
Right. Those are, I would say, the chiolic and the turmeric, I would say, are sort of second tier. If you want just sort of comprehensive coverage, I would say take a good multivitamin, take fish oil, take vitamin D.
Yeah.
And then the other supplement that I like to give you general coverage, if you like these phytonutrients, is something called PhytoGuard, which is a product that I've developed years ago that incorporates resveratrol. Now it has pomegranate in it, it has quercetin, it has EGCG from green tea, it has broccoli extract, and curcumin. So it's got, a smattering of all these things, and I can kind of construe it as a one-a-day multivitamin of nutraceuticals, of herbs, to accompany your multivitamin. And, I've been using it for years. It's been very popular, and it's stood the test of time. Now, then, if you want to tailor it, you can add chiolic aged garlic extract. That's an excellent thing for most people to take. I take it every day. A man might want to take a prostate supplement, saw palmetto with pumpkin seed or pygium. These are some things that might be worthwhile. Probiotic.
Probiotic.
Yeah. I mean, there we go. We're off to the race. That's why I take 15, 20 different things every day.
Right.
It's a comprehensive program.
Tom, add a few more things and that should keep you well, provided your lifestyle is all good and you eat a good diet.
Indeed.
Great. Okay.
We have time for one more question.
Thank you, Tom. Oh, okay. This comes from Connie. Connie writes, "Hello, Dr. Hoffman. My mother is reading some material about the impurities in northern waters regarding fish oil, you know, the contamination of fish with PCBs, herbicides, mercury, etc. Which fish oils are best? I was also reading about omega-7. Is that better to take than standard fish oil?"
Okay, so
I don't know how quick that'll be.
This is it's a kind of a long question, but you know, to answer rather quickly, we're very concerned about the safety of the fish oils and all the products that we use at the Hoffman Center, and so we demand from the manufacturer specifications that are independently vetted and conducted that show mercury content, PCB content. We want to see the spec sheets. And the company that I rely upon for my radio program is called Nordic Naturals. And they have a very excellent reputation. Their fish is actually harvested in the South Atlantic, not in the North Sea, where there's more contamination. It's a bigger, less contaminated ocean. But they test. They spot test all their batches and make sure that they're free of mercury and other contaminants, PCBs, chemicals, and so on. So that's my, on the commercial side, you know, the retail side. On the professional side, I use a company called Orthomega. Actually, we use several companies, and
depending on the type
of fish oil. We have some enteric-coated fish oil we give to our colitis patients. We have a formula that has more DHA for patients who have you know, brain disorders.
DHA Select. I take that one. I love DHA Select. Yep.
And again, these come from companies where we've vetted them very carefully. And unfortunately, there is a general correlation with price. If if you see 500 pills for $9.99, first, the potency is going to be low.
Ooh.
Secondly, the purity may not be that good. And so it's worth it to get a really high-quality, molecularly distilled fish oil that doesn't have a fishy aftertaste and that's very concentrated, so you take less pills. And that's less chance of contamination because it's been, you know, there's a reason. So, you know, you get what you pay for. So that's number one. Omega-7 is, it's palmitoleic acid.
Palmitoleic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to address that one?
Well, it's found that it's the scientific research is revealing that it can be a very hard, healthy fat. And that's the reason we've got it here. So that's something we would add to a heart healthy regimen, including, you know, the salmon and salad diet or a lower carb diet or a prudent type diet, which is actually the prudent diet.
It's said to be helpful in insulin resistance, and it's said to be helpful with lowering highly sensitive C-reactive protein. So for some of our patients who experience those problems, we might use that.
Yeah. Inflammation is the source of all of our chronic bills. Thank you for your question, Connie.
So I might add that we've done a couple of really good podcasts and articles lately. I have, if you go into our onto our homepage, you'll see the second part of a supplements for surgery article that I wrote, which is, I think, going to be very popular because so often we get questions of what should I take, what should I not take. This article should really settle it for a lot of people who are concerned about the impact of supplements on surgery or what should they take specifically to help surgical recovery. So there, it's in two parts. We posted it at drhoffman.com. And this week, I feel it coming on. Some of it, depending on when we post this podcast, it may already be published or it may be to be published. I'm going to write, I have written an article that will be posted on it's kind of a unique phenomenon, which is supplements you can take to minimize skin damage this summer season, now that the sun is out full blast.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so
wonderful.
I haven't yet shared that article with you, Layla, but it's interesting. I did a little research on, you know, the bonafides of what supplements actually help to prevent cross-linking of collagen in the skin and even have anti-cancer effects. And there's some surprising new data that shows that by taking a few select supplements, you can actually protect your skin. This is not to say that you should, take some couple of supplements and then bake indiscriminately in the sun and forego the use of sunscreen completely, because that still is an important element
of
protection.
Right, of course.
but you can get an added measure. You take sort of an internal sunscreen with certain or the right supplements. Yes. So please check out that article.
Which is probably the best kind. You know, so many sunscreens are full of carcinogens and everything.
Yes.
Oxybenzene and or benzone. It's terrible stuff that's in sunscreens. So
also, I'm worried about the ones that have nanoparticles of titanium.
Yes.
Because they are so small that when you spray them especially, they can get into the lungs and they can have deleterious effects. They can actually, I think, inflame the lungs, even get into the mm-hmm. systemic circulation. So, the article's not about sunscreens. There's a very nice article on a sunscreen selection at Environmental Working Group. Just Google EWG sunscreens. And they have a nice discussion of sunscreen safety and what some of the cleaner products
resource.
Are.
Yeah.
Yep. EWG.org. All right. Well, thank you very much, Layla. We had a very good session today. Some interesting questions.
People are
very imaginative.
Yeah.
So, and if you have questions, you can send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll try to answer as many as we can on subsequent podcasts. Thanks for joining us and enjoy. Your summer, now that it's underway. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Oh, I might mention one other thing. Oh, upcoming, those of you who are inveterate listeners of this podcast, if you're in the New York City area, on June 24th, we'll be having a wonderful webinar at the Hoffman Center. It's on the subject of overcoming your food cravings. And Layla and I will team teach that seminar. It also will eventually be available via a video recording. So stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. If you know those of you who are far away and you can't attend, that's okay, because now you'll have an opportunity to purchase the video of that upcoming seminar. We're very excited. June 24th at the Hoffman Center.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.